get you a bigger one. That's also what she said.
Delusions run strong on this podcast. Rish Outfield has them. I have them. Our guests have them. If you listen long enough, you will have delusions too. The Journey Into podcast is proud to present This Journey Into a Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. A Journey Into Star Wars, featuring numerous delusions of grandeur.
I'm out of it. For a little while, everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
Hello there.
Welcome to Delusions into Grandeur, our journey into Star Wars here once again. My name is Marshall Latham.
And I'm Rish Outfield, and we've got another guest with us.
Who is?
Should I speak up? I was waiting to be introduced, but I can.
Oh.
Hi, everybody. It's Big Anglovich again.
Hey. Welcome.
My first show ever on Delusions of Grandeur. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think you're at about the 50% range there, I think. Which is a good thing. Good thing for everyone.
Speaking of good things, guys.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that there's not much new that's been going on with Star Wars, so I'm not sure what we're going to talk about here.
Well, I don't live in Bizarro World, and so there's tons of stuff I want to talk about Star Wars related.
Okay.
I mean, we could do a whole episode talking about the second season of Rebels. We could do an episode talking about this new poster for episode 7. We could do an episode speculating when I will start calling it The Force Awakens instead of episode 7. But also, there was a new trailer, the third and final trailer revealed.
Oh, yes.
That's for right. this new movie. And that's probably the big one. That's probably the one we should talk about.
Okay, do you want to talk a little bit about, like, the poster or anything else before we get on to that? I would think the poster could be a quickie.
So I have seen the poster.
And what did you think?
I thought it looked pretty good.
Is it just me, or does it look like the girl? You guys know her name. What is her name?
Rey.
Daisy Ridley.
Okay, Daisy, yes. Ridley. Rey. Is it just me, or does it look like she has a double-bladed, at first glance, you look and you think, whoa, she's got a double-bladed Darth Maul lightsaber. And then it's actually, was it Kylo Ren? That's his name?
Good job. Yeah, Kylo Ren.
It's Kylo Ren's lightsaber is like right next to her little staff that she's holding.
Oh, really? Let me look at it while you're talking. Sorry.
It totally looks like that to me anyway. At first glance. Then when you look at it closer, you're like, oh, no, that's not it.
Oh, okay. I see what you're talking about. It totally does. Yes. Because it's right alongside her staff. It has to have been done that way on purpose.
But she doesn't have, I mean, she's just got, I don't know, what is that, like a Emperor's Royal Guard staff or a Weequay staff, or what is she holding there?
You know, I gotta say, you have to be a Star Wars fan to refer to something as a Weequay staff.
I owned a Weequay at one point, so it has special meaning to me.
Yeah, she looks like a sand person staff there.
When I was a kid, we used to use G.I. Joe figures to make, like, animated, like, stop-animated films on Super 8 camera that my friend had. And he had this friend who kept insisting that we needed to make a stop-motion animated version where they get Cobra Commander and they pull his hood off, and underneath it, we take Weequay's head and put it on top of Cobra Commander's body. So when they pull his hood off, ah, he looks disgusting. He's Weequay. But we never did make that. I didn't want to damage my G.I. Joes, you know what I mean?
That's cool. I mean, you knew you would never be able to get another G.I. Joe.
Right. It's never happening.
Marshall, do you have the poster in front of you?
I do.
I've never looked at it up close before. But I've also got the British Quad in front of me, which I prefer. Maybe he's not in the regular domestic one. But there's a little guy right above BB-8 I have never seen before.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys see him next to R2? He's there. Marshall, have you seen the British version, the horizontal instead of vertical one?
Yeah, I've seen them both. That's what I'm looking at now, actually.
It's beautiful.
Oh, you're talking that guy?
Yeah.
With like the half moon shaped kind of head?
Well, maybe that's Luke Skywalker.
Could be.
Okay.
Unless Kylo Ren is Luke Skywalker.
Hey, none of that. We're not talking about that stuff. Oh, okay. Well, hey, so if we are going to talk about the trailer, let's talk about the trailer. Marshall, you go first. Tell me what your thoughts on the trailer are, right?
I put my foot down, and I decided that I was not going to watch this trailer. That I watched the two teaser trailers, and that was enough. And I wasn't going to watch this one.
What?
Wait, what? Sorry, Big, I believe he phrased it perfectly. So you didn't watch it during Monday Night Football, but you did watch it later online, like everyone else, right?
I still have not watched the trailer.
What?
And it's interesting how many people have had that reaction, even people that aren't, they're excited about the movie, but they typically aren't, you know, the people that I talk to about Star Wars. And they just say, oh, hey, have you seen the Star Wars trailer? And I'm like, nope, I haven't seen it. And they have that same reaction. They're surprised.
What?
Because you refuse to see it, right? It's not that you haven't had the opportunity.
No, I've had to avoid opportunities, like when it starts auto scrolling or auto playing on Facebook. No, I just want to go into the movie as innocent as I can, and I'm.
Marshall, I'm pretty sure those days are gone.
I've seen the two teaser trailers. I've seen, you know, the toys and the figures, and I've seen the poster. But I just wanted to be wowed by what I saw when I went to the movie. From what I hear, there's a lot of wow in the new trailer, and I didn't want to lose that going into the movie.
They had a bunch of little wows on there. They're one of the new alien species that you see. They're kind of like Jawas, except for that they don't wear the robes. But I don't know why that would make you not watch it. That's weird.
That would be scary.
Okay, so Marshall, just sit quietly while Big and I talk for a moment. While the adults talk, Marshall's going to have to sit quietly. The trailer premiered, of all things, during Monday Night Football. And Big, what was your reasoning behind that? If you're Disney, why do you do that?
Well, I think that's where you get your biggest single audience, you know what I'm saying? TV has become so splintered and fractured and everything that if you're gonna spend a whole bunch of money and put it on TV, you want to show it where it's gonna get the most eyeballs. Two, ABC owns ESPN. ABC is owned by Disney. Disney owns Star Wars, so it's probably a nepotism kind of thing going on there too. By putting it on Monday Night Football, they might boost Monday Night Football's ratings a little as well. See? All the nerds, like you and I, and I guess not Marshall, will see it anyway. We don't need to watch it on ABC. We're going to see it on YouTube the second it's available. We're going to watch it again and again. We're going to post it to our blogs. We're going to link to other people who posted it on their blogs. We're going to go to the big blogs like IO9 and stuff that posted it on there, and we're going to watch it there. So they don't need.
We're going to talk about it on a podcast.
Right. So they don't need to put it somewhere that we'll see it, because we'll see it. And then the people who watch Monday Night Football might be less clued into that kind of stuff. So they might see that and be like, oh, whoa, that looks good. I need to go see that there movie. I love it when they shoot the lightsabers. And the laser swords and stuff.
I love me some Star Trek.
Yeah, I've seen all the Star Trek movies.
I think...
Misa's seen them all.
I think you've probably got a point there. My brother-in-law knew there was a Star Wars movie coming, but he had never seen a trailer. And he didn't even know it was this year, I think. He thought it was like next summer. And holy cow, ESPN hyped that up. They'd be like, we'll be back with the second quarter of the game and the Star Wars trailer. We'll be back with the next play here on ESPN. And don't forget, the Star Wars trailer. And they built it up and built it up to the point where finally when it was halftime, and this is bizarre, but it goes hand in hand with what Big said. My brother-in-law, my sister, all the kids and I sat on the couch and we watched it together, just waiting for the trailer. It was one of those things that brought families together, like back in the day when it was Ed Sullivan on. Or
it was like when you sat down to watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom with your family when you were younger.
Your household was actually Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. But that was kind of amazing. I had my nephew on my lap, and I was overwhelmed because there's so much in the trailer. It's probably 30 seconds longer, Marshall, than the last teaser that we saw. And okay. It actually has dialogue and tells us a little bit about what the movie's about. I mean, just enough so you're like, oh, okay. So apparently there are bad guys. But it tells you just enough so that you're like, whoo, I wonder what that means. Or I wonder who that is. Or I wonder where so-and-so is. And yeah, afterward, I came in and StarWars.com had posted it on Facebook at the exact same moment. And I was just able to watch it again and again. And my brother-in-law's oldest kid, he's 15. He's one of those people that has lived his whole life on the internet. He knows every single cliche and every single movie reference from YouTube, but not from watching those movies. And he said, Darth Vader died? And I was just like, how do you not know that?
Somebody told him that Return of the Jedi was lame, so he didn't watch
it. You know, that might be it.
Somebody told him, don't watch that. It's got like teddy bears in it. It's terrible.
Anyhow, I did sit down because Marshall had told me ahead of time, I'm not going to watch it. And I thought, yes, you will. Because it does everything that a good trailer does. It just gets you excited. It came out the same day. In fact, the same time, right? The tickets went on sale. And tickets don't normally go on sale 60 days before a movie comes out. But in this case, it did exactly what it was meant to do. It gets you to run out there and buy tickets. Oh, I can't wait. Hey, honey, where are you going to be on the 18th of December? What showing should we go to? 3D? Are we going to do 2D? Is it in 3D? And, you know, all that stuff. And holy cow, it pre-sold so many tickets. I believe they said that Catching Fire was the reigning champion at like 1.3 million tickets pre-sold. And Star Wars is already over 6 million tickets pre-sold.
Yeah, I saw an article somewhere that was saying they already know that it's going to make at least this much money based on the pre-sales.
It already has made that money then, right?
Yeah, it already has. Yeah, right.
Are we going to be able to see this movie? Or are we going to have to wait until like February because all the shows up until then are sold out already?
I think the advantage of putting your tickets on sale 2 months ahead of time is that you're able to gauge how fast things sell out, how much interest there is, so that you're able to constantly add new screenings. If you're a theater owner and every single Force Awakens screening has sold out, then you're like, okay, you know what? We're going to dump Spectre. We're going to dump Good Dinosaur. We're going to dump X, Y, and Z. And just that day, we're going to have Star Wars on all those screens because it's worth it to us to sell out every single seat rather than whatever we would have made on James Bond that day or whatever is popular that week. And also that you're like, okay, guys, we're going to add a 2 a.m. showing. And if that sells out, we'll do a 2:15 showing. And if that sells out, you're just able to see, okay, how many more employees are we going to have to hire? How fast can we turn the theater around and show a new screening? And it's like, we'll just leave the popcorn on the floor and every third screening will clean the floor. You know, that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's just my guess. I've never run a movie theater. And logic, of course, never enters into any of these things. I remember when the special editions came out, our local second run movie theater replaced Star Wars with Empire Strikes Back the day that they got Empire Strikes Back. And I was just like, you guys are idiots. Anybody who wants to go see Empire Strikes Back would have paid to see Star Wars for again.
Yeah. There was a time that I worked at a movie theater. I was a concession guy, but then I was also in the management and I put together the movies the night that before they were going to play. And so a lot of times if it was a cool movie, we'd wait till after hours and have just an employee's special showing of the movie. And there's parts of me that wish I still worked at a movie theater so I could do something like that.
Yeah, okay, so answering your question, I don't know, but my guess is if you really want to see it that first day, you will be able to. You might have to do like we did with Avengers, where we went to one theater and we're like, oh shoot, the seats are garbage. Let's go to the other theater and do the one that starts in an hour, and we were able to do better.
Right. Here's another question for you. We've talked about this over on The Dune, Steve, about how we're old now, and we don't want to go to the midnight or the 1 or 2 a.m. showing of a movie and then get up in the morning the next day to go to work, because we're old and we can't handle that anymore. We can't just come out of the theater and the sun is already up and just go straight to work like you did when you saw Return of the King. Does that still apply? Does that feeling still apply with this movie, or is that out the window and you're like, oh, F that, I'll go to it, whatever I have to do to see it that opening night?
Is that question for me or for Marshall as well?
It's for you, but Marshall as well. I mean, anybody can talk. It's not my show.
Well, for the most part, that does apply still. I would like to see it soon, but not because I'm a fanboy and it's like, oh gosh, I've got to have number one seat the very first screening. Well, which is what I used to do 20 years ago. The thing is, I just want to avoid anybody saying, oh, hey, have you seen this? There's this part, you know. I just...
You don't want somebody running down the line yelling, Darth Vader is Luke's father!
I can't imagine that actually happened in 1980. If it did, I hope that guy is burning in hell.
He probably is. Our friend Rob Caldwell said that that's what happened to him.
But the problem is, Marshall, you and I are going to have to just stay off of Facebook for a week because it opens internationally before it opens here.
Oh, again.
And I remember when Avengers...
Does internationally count Canada?
No, U.S. and Canada are the same territory.
Oh, damn.
But
I thought I might have a way.
When Avengers came out in 2012, they got it a week early. And yeah, there were all sorts of people all over Facebook talking about things in Avengers. And it's like, hey, stay till after the credits and, you know, all this stuff. And I...
Duh.
And I just... I didn't like that. But I want to see it opening day just so that I don't run into somebody that's like, oh, when Captain Phasma was revealed to be Sindel Tawani.
That's probably who it is.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I never considered that. And she's blonde, too,
right? Makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, okay.
It's got to be Sindel.
We need to start that rumor. Anyhow, I do intend on seeing it that day. But I don't know ahead of time. You know, my life is not open enough where I can say, okay, I know that I'll be able to see it at 7 o'clock that night, and I'll need 4 tickets. You know what I mean? Marshall, his life may be a little more stable, and he may already know how many tickets and what show he's planning on going to, and he's about to tell me.
Well, I'm going to try to hit the 19th, the Saturday. I might even buy him ahead of time just to have that assurance that I can get in. I think I'm going to have to, actually. I don't know. I might just go, just have my wife and I go, and then maybe the next weekend go with the kids or something like that. Another excuse to go to the movies.
Well, yeah, hopefully it will be one of those where you will want to see it over and over again, and you run into somebody who hasn't yet seen it, and you're like, that's an excuse. We're going to see it.
That's right. You have to see this.
Which would be really cool. And
you have to see it right now with me.
And it's sad because... I feel that way about Jurassic World, and neither of you guys have seen it. I feel like grabbing each of you by the ear and saying, we're going right now while it's still playing in a theater.
Well, at work, we had a floating holiday that nobody had decided what that floating holiday was going to be. And so we kind of had an in-office poll, and somebody nominated and I seconded that it would be December 18th. So that we could go watch Star Wars.
That is really cool, though. Yeah. Does your wife have an open enough schedule? If you had the day off, she could go with you?
Yeah, she could.
Okay, well, I think you should plan on that. And I assume we'll all be back here to talk about the movie. But Marshall, you told me you weren't going to watch it. And in the off chance that you didn't, I took notes during the trailer. And I thought that it would be interesting to just spoil it for you and tell you all the things that are really cool about the trailer. And you won't have broken your promise. You still will not have seen it.
Hmm.
But you'll have all the salient points covered and ruined for you. What do you think, Marjorie? Does that sound good?
We could try that. We could do that.
Oh, you know, I got an idea. How about if I throw in a couple of lies? Like I make up a couple of scenes that aren't in the trailer, but I don't tell you which ones those are. Would that be okay?
That would be good. Yeah, it'd be like that episode of Big Bang Theory.
Oh, come on, man. Why you got to do that? I was feeling so close to you. Okay, Big, do you think that'll work?
Is he supposed to guess what's real and what's not, or?
If he wants to, but my guess is that it'll be pretty obvious.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so here is a list of things that happen in this final Star Wars trailer, all right?
So I think I will state my opinion whether it's real or fake.
And at the end, do we want a tally of how well you did, or should I just leave you hanging? Which is crueler?
Well, I guess if you're doing the editing, you could put the ding or the buzzer, whether I'm correct or not. And so I'll find out in post-production.
Okay. Hey, that's going to be pretty funny. And for those of you who've seen the trailer, you're a step ahead of Marshall, and hopefully you will enjoy hearing whether he's right or wrong. Okay. Chewbacca lifting a stormtrooper above his head.
I would say that's true.
Okay. Poe Dameron flying an X-Wing saying, "This is for Alderaan."
True.
Okay. Han Solo shaking hands with an alien, one we have never seen before.
True. I'm sure there's going to be lots of aliens that we haven't seen before.
Okay. R2-D2 electricity zapping BB-8 who rolls away comically.
I'm going to say false on that one.
Okay. Finn, you know who Finn is, right?
Yes.
Finn playing holographic chess on the Millennium Falcon with those exact same stop motion monster pieces on it.
True.
Okay.
And that's just hopeful. I'm hoping that's
Princess Leia firing a blaster at someone / something.
True.
Alec Guinness voiceover of, "The Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together."
I'm going to say false on that one.
Okay. Kylo Ren force choking a TIE fighter pilot in a hangar.
True.
C-3PO with his red arm saying, "I never thought I'd see this day."
True.
Luke Skywalker with a white beard nodding proudly at someone off camera.
I'm going to say false on that one.
All right. Something that looks like a black Imperial shuttle crashing into a huge pylon on some kind of city planet, sort of like the industrial section of town from Episode 2's speeder chase.
A TIE fighter? A black TIE fighter, you said?
It's like a shuttle, like an Imperial shuttle. It's not a Imperial shuttle, but it's like that. But it's black.
I'm going to say false on that one.
All right. Rey. You know who Rey is, right, Big?
The girl, right?
Okay, I'll rephrase. The girl patting the head of a practical-looking alien cow or horse or fish saying, "That's a good girl."
False.
Okay. Phoebe Cates in a red swimsuit rising out of a swimming pool in slow motion.
I would say that was false.
True, that's true, Marshall.
Okay.
I saw it.
Fast Times on Tatooine.
Right.
And lastly, Constable Zuvio at his desk, shaking his head and saying, "I'm afraid I can't just let you leave here."
False on that one.
Shaking his head and saying, "I'm getting too old for this shit."
Sorry. Yes, Big corrected me. I didn't have time to get the exact quote. All right. So someday soon, you will hear this episode, Marshall, and you will find out.
Okay.
But
hope was that entertaining, Big, to find out what I thought?
It was fun. Yeah, I think you're gonna be interested to find out what of those are true and what aren't.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Sorry. Hey, Marshall, this is Rish here. My recorder ran out, and so I wasn't able to let you know this. You may have already figured it out, as has anybody who saw the trailer, but none of those things actually happen in the trailer. I wrote up that list while waiting for the trailer to start, and I thought it would be amusing if none of the things were true, but I didn't tell you that until after. But this may be even more amusing, you finding out once the episode comes out.
take care.
Anyway, Marshall, what have you heard of the trailer, though? I mean, have you heard any negative reactions? Have you heard, like, have your kids seen the trailer?
Not that they've told me. I haven't forbidden them from talking about it, but I don't know if they've seen it either. They probably have at school. I don't know. Let's see. What have I heard? A lot of people saying, ooh, I can't wait to go see the movie. And then specifically, I think the only thing that I've heard is that there's a really cool dogfight between TIE fighters and the Millennium Falcon, and that it was better than anything they'd seen on any of the other movies before.
Huh. Better than the Death Star attack at the end of Jedi?
That's what they said.
I don't know. That still holds the record for me. That sequence could be like 10 minutes longer, and I wouldn't complain. There's so much stuff happening.
You know, speaking of, we were talking about Revenge of the Sith earlier.
Uh-huh.
And so many people praise the opening scene with all the battle and stuff going on. I've always thought that doesn't compare at all to Return of the Jedi. But a lot of people think, oh, that was the coolest thing with all those battleships and all those fighters and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I agree. Return of the Jedi was pretty darn good. And the little bubble bots ruined it for me anyway on Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, those robots make me hate the dogfight stuff from the first one. That and just the fact that, I don't know, there's just something so lame about what's-his-face as Anakin. I just can't like him.
You don't like Hayden Panettiere as Anakin Skywalker?
Hayden, what is it, Christensen, right? Christensen was the name I could come up with, but not Hayden. But yeah, there's just something about him. I don't know, the way he delivers all of his lines, he just seems so smarmy and like, I'm cool. I don't know.
Marshall, have you seen Episode 3 since you've seen the Clone Wars cartoon?
I haven't, actually. That's probably a good thing to check out.
Well, my cousin is watching the Clone Wars, and he talks about the friendship between Anakin and Obi-Wan. And he talks about, it was really strange, he was talking about this character called Commander Cody, who's one of the clones, and that he and Obi-Wan become really tight, like almost like brothers. And yet Commander Cody is the one that tries to kill Obi-Wan in Episode 3 when that Order 66 thing happens. And he's like, wow, it changes everything when you know that those two are friends, and all it takes is like a flip of a switch, and that clone becomes, you know, an assassin or whatever. And I was just like, wow, that's another reason why you would want to watch that Clone Wars cartoon, is so that things that you already know, they have a different meaning, you know. And to me, all of those clones are just one character. They're stormtroopers. They're faceless. But if you've watched 5 years of the Clone Wars, they have different personalities and they have different names, different ranks. You can just pick them out just based on how their armor is slightly different and all that stuff. And, you know, so I think that the TV show is probably a success in that area.
Yeah, I knew a guy who once said, and this was talking, what were the other cartoon called?
The Clone Wars.
The ones that came out in 5-minute segments. Was that also called The Clone Wars?
That was also called The Clone Wars, yeah.
Okay, so I'm speaking of this cartoon, not the longer computer animated one that exists now. But he was saying, after watching those and seeing all the things that those guys did, you know, you saw the lesser known Jedis, you know, guy with the long head, or I can't think of any of their names now because I've forgotten them. I used to know a lot of them, but
Kit Fisto is what you're thinking of.
Yeah, Kit Fisto.
Plo Koon.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of really offensive names, sorry.
Anyways, you see those guys go and fighting in battles and blah, blah, blah. And he was saying that made it so that when he saw Revenge of the Sith, and they did that Order 69.
No, that was a different movie.
Oh.
That was Barbarella.
Anyways, whatever the order was, where they shot all the Jedis in the back and stuff, he said that it, after having watched that, it actually hurt. When you see these guys, you're like, no, that guy was cool. Oh, no. Seeing all these random, you know, Jedis that are nothing. They're not characters. They're just symbols. Seeing them all killed, he was just like, no, when they said, execute them all.
No, I've talked to a lot of people that feel that same way. With me having seen that Tartakovsky cartoon, they were just so super heroic. They were all the last son of Krypton in that cartoon.
Yeah, they were.
And so like... when they're so easily destroyed by stormtroopers, whatever they're called, clone troopers, or Palpatine takes out like 9 of them with a lightsaber in a second, I was just like, oh, okay, well, the cartoon must not be accurate then.
Yeah, that...
yeah, but the cartoon was weird how they had it end as the movie began. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
But it led right up to... hey, we're going into the battle above Coruscant, then that's where the movie starts. It's really interesting.
Those Clone Wars, that's what we were hoping to see the Jedi, right? We were hoping to see the Jedi be these super cool guys that were on the top of their game and just kick butt everywhere they go. And that's not really what we got in the prequels.
Well, I don't think we got any of the Clone Wars. We got begun the Clone War has, and then... it's 2 years or something like that, and the Clone Wars are over.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, in a way, you kind of do need that TV series. Big and I used to talk. I used to say George Lucas should have just said, the next one's going to be episode 2.5, not episode 3. We're going to do 4 of these because, yeah, we've run out of time for all the things that we have to cover, and nobody's going to be angry about it. But they didn't do that.
Didn't listen to you.
No, I don't think he listened to anybody.
Yeah, that's pretty apparent. So, the trailer, since Marshall hasn't seen it, we're not going to talk much more about it then, I'm guessing, huh?
I don't want to spoil any more. I mean, I'd like to talk about it, because it was an emotional experience and all that. But maybe in the next episode, I'll talk a little bit about what I like about that trailer. There was a moment that sort of stuck out with me that reminded me of Luke and Luke's loneliness on Tatooine, and so... Marshall, just remind me to talk about that next time, okay?
That sounds good.
Well, if we're not going to talk too much more about the trailer, I guess I can talk about the response. My experience of watching it, it can be like one of those YouTube reaction videos where people just film themselves watching a YouTube video and then make that into a YouTube video.
There you go.
I'm sure that there's not anything that can go wrong with that. So it came out Monday night, during Monday Night Football. I was working Monday night. Also, I don't have a TV signal, you know, coming into my house anymore. I live in the middle of nowhere, and there's mountains, like, all around me. So I can't get over-the-air antenna. My only connection is via Netflix and those kind of things, which don't show live events like Monday Night Football.
Right.
So I was not able to watch it on Monday Night Football. But... that Monday night, I was going to meet Rish so that we could record some stuff and do our normal Monday night thing. It was kind of in defiance of the universe because we hadn't been able to get together on a Monday night for so long that we finally put our foot down and said, no, we're doing it. Damn you, stars! So we did it. We got together. And at this point, I'd forgotten that it was coming out. Earlier in the day, I had given Rish some crap on Facebook, you know, saying, what are you going to do, Rish? It's the thing you most despise mixed with the thing that you love most. What will you do? You're going to implode. But by the end of the day, I'd forgotten that was coming out. And so when I got together with Rish, he asked me, oh, yeah, what do you think of the trailer? And I wasn't sure whether he was going to watch it or not because of the whole Monday Night Football thing. And also, maybe he was going to be like you, Marshall, and be like, no, I don't want to spoil it for me. And he's like, I've already watched it like 10 times. I'd be home watching it right now if I wasn't here meeting you. So then we went out, and sitting in the car, we had to get close enough to my 4G had been throttled back to 3G on me because I'd watched too many videos using my phone. So I wasn't able to get it to work. So we had to park close enough to a store that had free wireless so that we could get it. We finally got it up on Rish's phone, and I watched it for the first time on Rish's phone. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think the moment that really resonated with me is the one that Rish is talking about. But maybe it is. I don't know. There was just, it gets to some several parts where I'm just like, oh, wow, that's really cool. I wouldn't have guessed that that's how things would have turned out. And maybe I'm still wrong, but it seems like things could be quite different than I expected the world to have progressed from, you know, what happened at the end of Return of the Jedi. And yeah, it makes you feel like a kid again a little bit when something that you like that much comes out with something new and special like that. You watch it and it's just like, oh, yeah. I mean, I did that today. I was working at, you know, I work in the news and I was getting video ready for a segment that we had that we were going to do about Halloween. And they wanted a whole bunch of video of like trick-or-treating and stuff like that. And so I was cutting all this stuff together. And there was a shot of this kid taking her pillowcase and lifting it up and dumping all the candy out onto the table. And for some reason, just seeing that made me think, oh man, I wish I was a kid. I wish I could go trick-or-treating again. I remember how awesome it was to get home and just dump that candy out and start going through it and parading it around with your brothers and sisters and friends and stuff. Oh. And that's kind of the same feeling that I had watching that Star Wars trailer, where I was just like, wow. It's like how excited I felt when they put the Ewok Adventure on TV.
You mean when you heard about it?
No, when I watched it. And then when I watched Ewok battle for the planet Endor. I was really excited, I'll have to admit, about the Ewok Adventure, but that was because I was like, I don't know, 12 years old or something when it came out. I was just looking at Mace Tawani. That kid was an ugly freaking kid. And also, I remember him being just an extreme a-hole. I hated the guy. He reminded me a lot of my older brother, who was mean. But that's beside the point. We're not talking about Ewok Adventure. That was just, that's a different story. But yeah, Marshall, maybe, I guess you don't get to experience that. You don't get to be happy. You're going to have to wallow in sadness and pain and misery.
Well, you never know. I might break down and watch the trailer before the movie comes out. Or maybe I'll go find a Jurassic World and we'll see that. I should be safe on that one.
Don't do it. Stand firm with me, Marshall.
So sounds like there was a lot of nostalgia there for you there, Big.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting when things can dredge that up in you. I assume that's probably why Disney bought Star Wars in the first place. Because they knew that it was one of those kind of properties where there's just so many people out there like me and you and Rish and hundreds of others of our own friends and thousands of upon thousands of other people that they'll go. It doesn't matter what you even put out. And if you try a little bit, then they're really, really going to go, you know, they're going to go in droves and you're going to make so much money because everybody just has that amazing nostalgia for Star Wars. So many people do.
Yeah. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, I used to be an insane Metallica fan when I was growing up. It was like almost all that I listened to. And Metallica steadily got crappier and crappier over the years. They put out things that were less and less good. And I still kept buying and buying whatever it was that they would put out. They put out a new album, I bought it. Didn't matter. And I would listen to it and I was like, oh, it's not really all that good. But the next album came out and I would buy it because I loved it that much. And I think Star Wars is the same kind of thing. Metallica did finally kill that when they made a freaking album with Lou Reed singing along with. That was absolutely horrible. And once I heard that, it killed it. It finally killed that blind devotion that I have. But I have to admit that those three prequels were not enough to kill Star Wars out of me. And if these new ones are anything better than what those prequels were, it's just going to re-up that nostalgia and that blind devotion for me and probably tons and tons of other people. We just love that world, that universe. We just want to be a part of it. We want to see as much as we can of it. The good thing is, I'm pretty sure that's what Disney's plan is too. They're going to let us see as much as we can of it.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Even without seeing the trailer, the things that I've seen so far have really got me excited about it.
Yeah, from what I can tell, it seems like Star Wars is going to be like Marvel Comics, where you watch it and, oh, well, that one wasn't very good. But you know what? There's another one 6 months from now. Maybe that one will be good.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a long time before we go a year without a Star Wars movie.
It's a good time. Good time to be alive.
Yeah, it makes me happy, I have to admit.
Well, here on the Journey Into podcast, we're kind of going back on some of that nostalgia as well. And Rish has written a story set back in Tatooine before the events of Star Wars. So he's written it, he's recorded it, and I'm working on the production of it. And that's probably what we're going to bring to you next on the podcast. So we're looking forward to that.
Sweet. I'm excited to hear it.
Hopefully the audience will enjoy it as well.
That's doubtful. Well, thanks for having me on your show, Marshall and Rish. You guys are good fellas. It's nice to be able to hang out with you and talk Star Wars.
Yeah.
If I'm not at half of the shows yet, then I want to be back on here until I am.
Okay.
So if I've not made it quite, I want you to do the math for me and figure it out. And then if not, you need to invite me back for the next show too.
Sounds like a plan, man.
I want on your story or something. I don't know. I can. I do post-show chatter or post, you know, I've done that before. I've got experience, so.
I've heard that. Sounds good. Well, thanks for coming on, Big, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right.
This has been Rish Outfield, and thank you for joining me. Bye.
This is Marshall Latham signing out. All right. May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you, Marshall, always.
Yes, yes, Hartu, I'll tell them. My little companion would have you know that the Delusions of Grandeur podcast is presented under a Creative Commons license. All right, a Creative Commons attribution license, which means... All right, Artu, a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 3.0 license. Yes, yes, Artu, that means they can share it with anyone, be them human, alien, or droid, but they cannot charge for the files or alter them in any fashion. Are you happy now? Well, that is quite uncalled for.
Zuckus.
Probably Forlom.
Forlom was a protocol droid converted into a bounty hunter. I'm curious to know how he could be a good bounty hunter, because all the droids, they weren't very nimble. They weren't very graceful and light on their feet. They weren't very fast. They weren't runners. How does a bounty hunter work as a droid? They don't seem like they could catch something. Of course, we used to talk about how Yoda was supposed to be the guy that didn't bounce off the walls like a fraggle on crack swinging his lightsaber either, and that wasn't the case. So
now look what happened.
Have you seen that thing that somebody posted where they're like last shot of Force Awakens holding the burned Darth Vader mask? Kylo Ren takes off his helmet. Two fish ears plop out. He says, Misa gonna avenge you, Annie.
Hey, Marshall hasn't seen the trailer yet. Don't tell him that.
I thought that was pretty good.
That's just really dark.